Last time in Czech history, Michal Pullman discussed his research into Czechoslovak society in the 1980s. In the second in a two-part special, he reflects upon the public role that historians play more generally in the Czech Republic today. I met him in his office at Charles University's Institute of Economic and Social History, so it seemed only natural to start by asking him about his teaching.
Teaching is for me not only something additional to the very research, but it is very important part of my own research, of what I do, etc. And I really insist on this kind of communication because this brings mutual profit, not only hopefully for the students that I bring texts and I try to cultivate them towards and introduce them towards social history, contemporary history, whatever how we define that, but also for me. Because I can bring my ideas and to test them whether they work, and students are sometimes underestimated audience that brings very important things. I mean, not only for me, but also they can develop it in their own research.
I suppose I was wondering in the course of your time here how you had noticed perhaps the profession change, and certainly how you had noticed your students change.
The practice of teaching at the Czech universities transformed quite deeply in the last 20 years. And please do not understand it in a way that I should be too that I want to be too harsh against the system in the 1990s. But still, the time when I was studying, of course, I was happy to study by Miroslav Roch and the excellent teachers. But the majority or the core of the courses in the 1990s were one-sided. That the knowledge was regarded to be something that is given from the teacher to the very pupil. It's no wonder and no accident that the structure of the curriculum was based on lectures, not on seminars at that time. Already 20 years ago, I was quite skeptical towards the way of teaching that is based only on, let's say, plain reading of text. There is a kind of obligation of a teacher to bring some kind of interpretation. So, and I insist even today that I bring in some kind of interpretation, which is not binding for the students, but this is something that I bring as a kind of model interpretive that brings those texts together. But afterwards, the students have to read and have to have their own opinion about the text. I'm really very glad when I can see that the students develop not only their knowledge, not only their practical competencies in doing research, but also intellectual competencies, that they reflect what they do, if they reflect their questions, they reflect, the advantages of disadvantages of their approach, they reflect the limits of what they're, because every question, of course, opens some perspective for us, but limits other perspectives, etc. So, and this kind of self-reflection is something I was always try to push through in the teaching.
Do you think there are continued taboos in writing history in the Czech Republic today? I mean, do you think there are topics that are sort of still more or less unexplored, and unexplored because of a lack of will?
Not in a way that there would be deliberate taboos of some groupings in a kind of, what was here before 1989. There is nothing like pressure from institutions or from the institutionalized politics. There is nothing like official order to be implemented. And I'm quite happy, and I was not surprised, but I was quite happy to see that even in my case, it worked actually perfectly in a way that it was not accepted, of course, at the very beginning and broadly, especially in the journalism, it was attacked also. But within the very academia, it was understood as a kind of proof that there is some kind of plurality. It is, of course, not ideal because many historians pose questions in a very specific way that they strengthen contemporary hierarchies. Perhaps they want to do that as there were many historians who wanted to do that before 1980. I don't want to do that. So this is my different position. I mean, there's a clear difference towards the time before 1980 in a way that somebody who would pose completely different in interpretation of something which is very important for self-conception of the society could not have been a director of the institute. And that's the institutionalist, of course, completely different.
Do you feel in this country that historians are often seen as public figures?
I wouldn't see there some kind of general logics or general explanation there. From my view, it's more dependent on the very topic. One can see this kind of dependency on one example, and this is the Czech-German relation. So I mean the history of Czech-German relations or history of Germans in Bohemian lands, especially in the 1990s. It was, I mean, at stake publicly, and historians who were dealing with these questions were very public personalities who had to intervene in public debates. There was a commission, official commission. There is even the commission till today. But as soon as this was somehow solved, historians cease to be such important persons. So it is, in my view, always dependent on burning issues. In 20 years, if we have some kind of, environmental problems, of course we'll ask history, especially history of the 20th century, about these issues more. And in this case, historians of environmental history will be more present in the very public sphere than historians, for instance, of communism. Perhaps communism will be somehow forgotten, and this will be perhaps also good, because we can then discuss. I mean, for historians, for historians of Czech-German relations, this kind of solving of the problem, or let's say diminishing of importance of Czech-German issue within the public, was somehow liberating for them, because they could have discussed the issues suddenly without this kind of pressure. They have much more space for historicizing the very issue, not presuming that the Czechs were right and Germans were wrong, or vice versa, etc. Perhaps this kind of diminishing of importance of communism for contemporary debate would be, liberating for us, because we can open then discussion on basic issues that are at stake because of the politics.
I wanted to ask you about the politicization of historians here, and whether you felt, as a last question, that was something that was very much historians themselves doing, or whether you feel there are other factors and other institutions in this country that do politicize the work of historians.
In my view, there is nothing like pure past that we could just bring as it was. We always ask the past on specific questions that are burning for us today. So there is always this kind of link between contemporary time and the past, that we always ask what is important for us, and it either responds the past and tells us something interesting about how it was generated, how the problem came into being, how it was solved or not non-solved, etc. Or it is silent because we don't have sources, or it is sometimes. So this is the productive part of this dependence of historical work on present time. There is also a non-productive part of the same relationship, let's say, that consists in some kind of tendency of some historians, not of historians as such, but some historians, to pose the questions in a way that strengthen the imagination of contemporary world as something natural, as something which is the only and the most just and the most rational outcome of the whole history. This kind of dependence, and this at this point, from my perspective, the historical work sometimes loses its critical competency. We always have to think and rethink this very close link to the present time, which is enabling us to talk about history, but also limiting us in historicizing the past very often, especially if we try to regard contemporary times as something which is logical and best outcome of what happened before.